Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary
Recording
stories
in
during
progress.
Unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show, and I am so excited about my guest today. Okay, but first, I have to plug my third book. This is just a proof copy, but it's actually out there. It's called Your Bullshit is Your Blessing, How to Stop Fixing Yourself and Start Having Fun. If for any reason you're not having fun, go get this book. Call me. We'll make sure you do. This one is Real Talk. This was my second book, How to Say the Things You've Never Said so You Can Have the Things You've Always Wanted. Again, you can go to Real Talk with Hillary. Take the quiz and set up a time to talk. And then my old book, my memoir, The Second Piece of French Toast. If you find yourself stuck in a life you don't know how you got into, read this. It will inspire you to create a life you love. So now, let me tell you how I found my guest. His name is Cesar F. Barajas, and I have been listening, or I've been doing, what, however you say it, an app called Aptiv, A-A-P-T-I-V. There was this guy on there. He would make, you know, corny jokes a little bit about tacos and things, but he was all about love and self-love. And he had alluded to something in his past, but here he was, and he struggled, but yet I found him to make a huge difference for me. And there was something about him I wanted to reach out. So it took me a while to find him. He responded, yes, like he was in, and I was thrilled. I'm still thrilled. And here he is today. So let me read a little bit about him. And I hope, I'm a crier, so get used to that. I hope he impacts your life as he has done mine. So here's a little background. Cesar F. Barajas is an international wellness mentor, mental health advocate, activist, chocolate chip cookie aficionado, and prideful supporter of the LGBTQIA2S+ communities. He's a first-generation American, the son of Mexican immigrants, a seven-year U.S. Navy veteran, and a proud HBCU alum. Cesar works in many capacities as an emotional leadership facilitator and mindfulness meditation expert, including the Everyman platform, men's peer-to-peer support group facilitation, and the Veterans Yoga Project as a national ambassador and primary teacher, with experience supporting the recovery and resilience of veterans and their communities, many of which experience post-traumatic stress, trauma-related challenges, and other mental health struggles. Cesar still copes and actively manages his own anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress injuries, which have plagued him his entire life. Through this experience, he found his calling as an educator and supporter of mental health awareness causes. As a trauma-informed, healing-centered, certified yoga instructor, meditation teacher, and breathing techniques instructor, he specializes in mindful resiliency for trauma recovery and compassion fatigue, breath work for rehabilitative self-introspection, and has taught worldwide. He has served as a guest panelist, keynote speaker, and teacher at Rutgers and Fordham universities, and a bunch of other schools. Cesar is also the creator and founder of JourneyWithCesar.com, an affordable subscription-based meditation library and coaching consulting service center. He's also an award-winning singer, dancer, actor, fight, and dance choreographer, Broadway regional off-Broadway musical theater talent, and voiceover artist with an impressive career that has spanned the last 30 plus years internationally. So, Caesar obviously is a man of many talents. I am honored and thrilled to have you on and that you accepted my invitation with such enthusiasm. You don't know me from anyone, and yet here you are. Welcome, Caesar. I'm excited about our
Thank
conversation.
you. How about we take a second to highlight how excited we both are to be here?
Okay.
And if there were some more random connections in the world, like if we took that breath and decided to share with someone how much they mean to them, if we decided to compliment someone on the purse that they're carrying, if we decided to acknowledge people that aren't normally seen, where do you think global citizenry would be right now? I think we'd be in a better place. So the thanks go back to you ultimately, Hillary. If you hadn't reached out and taken the impetus to say, "Hey, what's up, man? Your words, they mean a lot to me," I wouldn't be in a place to reflect back to you how honored I am to sit here with you. Like, we're not just promoting Hillary's books just because we're promoting books. Like, this woman has got a story to tell, this particular superhero. And that's in essence what it is that I want to highlight with people is, can we figure out a way through kindness, compassion, love, inclusivity, acknowledge people? And somebody at some point, multiple people have reached out to me and been like, "See, you look like you need a helping hand. Hey, man, great job." And that's ultimately how I've gotten to be right here. And yeah, the bio and everything is incredible, but like ultimately the work that we do with this particular audio-based app is blind for me. I'm not in person, I'm not in studio with people. So unless someone reaches out and says, "Hey, these words have affected me," then I honestly have no clue. So I really, really, really appreciate you. And congratulations on the upcoming launch of the third book.
Thank
Yeah.
it's about what you're saying. Like, there were certain things that I thought were my faults growing up, and then I realized, you know what, maybe those are my gifts. You know, like one of them was getting upset. I'm a crier. I mean, not that I would cry, but I would just be upset, and I thought that was shameful. And I was like, you know what, I could use this to help others and turn it around for them instead of trying to fix it. Just go, hey, this is cool. Let's make it cool. You know? So anyway, so that when you said about gifts, like what if we all were conscious of what our gifts are and we gave those away instead of trying to fix what we think is wrong with us? What if we spent our time doing that? That's what my life's about, is that we're all free to create lives we love.
Can we acknowledge and celebrate the fact that we're both here? And I'd also be remiss if I didn't acknowledge that I'm tuning in right now from my home in Manhattan, and I want to acknowledge the lands that I'm currently on. I'd love to honor the past, present, and emerging leaders from the indigenous folks whose lands were unceded and taken away. And so that is part of the essence of what it is that I do now, is understanding my roots. So where does Hillary come from? And what kind of generational strengths do you carry? And there was something that you just said about being a crier. And now we're in a place where people have to like potentially apologize for that. And with you and I pre-show, we were both like, "Girl, you do you. Like, I want you to feel." And this is ultimately the work that I do with the Everyman organization, which is men's peer-to-peer support. It's not therapy, but it's therapeutic. And so as a regular attendee and a facilitator as well, only in the last 3 years have I learned, you know what? I don't need to apologize for what I feel, because as a human, I am so wonderfully and beautifully complex. But as a man growing up, to those who are male identifying, we find ourselves in a place where to cry, to be vulnerable, to show emotion is often sought as being weaker. So then I'm not only trying to tap into my generational strengths, I'm also trying to undo generations of trauma that were unfairly and unjustly put on me. So the highlight for you, Hillary, is to not even tell people you're a crier, just be the crier. Because guess what? Unless we start to acclimate ourselves to these kind of situations, people are just going to continue to apologize for showing emotion. And I can't have you do that on your show. Because guess
Thank
what?
You.
I'm a crier too. And I only recently learned how to be that vulnerable. And ultimately, it's gotten me to where I am now. I was having a conversation with my wonderful partner the other day, and I celebrated her because she was sharing something, and tears arose, and she made no apologies. It's like, that's it. Just feel it. Because tears ultimately come from a place within the body somatically where there's a need for release. So our cognitive mind often wants to put a reason behind the tears. We want to put a cognitive reason behind why there's anger or why we feel frustrated or why I just have this ickiness that sits at heart center and throat center. But ultimately, your subconscious and unconscious know way more than you do, because they're carrying and tapping into the direct DNA of maybe three generations ago. Some people went through some things and your body is just now reacting to it. But we want to wrap our brains around what it is that we do. We want to wrap our brains around the idea in a Western society, we live in a place of scarcity versus excess. We'll be rewarded if we do this, but we'll be punished if I show emotion. Yo, can we get the F away from all of that and come back to who we are as just humans? And that's, in essence, the basis behind a lot of my teachings. And I often, for those of you who are not aware, Aptiv is an audio-based fitness app. And I offer yoga, meditation, walking meditations. They actually made me the movement meditation, I guess, guru, because they were like, hey, do you think people are going to want to take a 20-minute walk and listen to a Dharma talk? And I said, yeah, because movement is meditation. And that's one of my favorite things to teach. I was literally at the University of Michigan at the Ross School at the end of last year, and here are all these MBAs and the Ross School. It's, you know, in the US, it's something very significant. And I asked how many of them have a regular meditation practice. And many of them said, I don't have time. So I invited them to take a deep breath. And I'm going to ask you right now, and anyone who's listening or feels like it, if you don't mind, just take a deep breath in. And as the breath comes in, give the top of the chest an opportunity to inflate and rise, the rib cage expand, soften the belly, and then just let the air out. Okay, I hereby anoint you meditation experts. Yo, that's it. Because that's the conscious breath that physiologically begins the decompression, starts the calming effect. And so we when in our lives were we ever taught that? Like, I'm curious, Hillary, you grew up Northeast? Connecticut now. So
Connecticut.
I grew up in Texas. We were talking to one of our producers, Doug, who's also from Texas. Born in El Paso, raised in Houston. Did anybody in your life, Hillary, and you and I have led very different lives, did anybody in your life ever say to you, hey, take a deep breath? Or, hey, what do you need? A, how can you be supported? Did anyone in your life ever say that to you?
I mean, growing up?
Sure. No.
Since then, I do have people, but growing up.
And so the point of that is, in the essence of us being raised as humans, specifically in American society, because that's where I was raised as the son of immigrants. Ain't nobody in my house ever say to me, hey, take a deep breath. Or, hey, what do you need? Like, so I didn't even learn that I had that voice until 3 years ago. So the pandemic is what honestly brought all that on.
3 years ago?
And I've been teaching and coaching for 20 years, and I've been guiding as an educator for 20 plus years. I've been teaching dance. I've been teaching all sorts of fitness. And it was 3 years ago. It was June of 2020 when I had this incredible breakdown. And then I had a fellow everyman facilitator say, hey, maybe a group like this would help. And I've been emotionally sober now for 13 plus years. In 2010,
what does that mean?
Divorce. So sobriety is fighting addiction. If you're on a daily path towards sobriety, if you're a part of the 12 steps, you're giving yourself an opportunity to understand that sometimes you're powerless over fill in the blank, gambling, sex, alcohol, drugs, emotions. What little did I know that I had this incessant need to be anger filled because it was my protective. And that protection is what allowed me to remain safe in my mind and in my heart. But at the expense of what? Relationships, jobs, people. You and I chatted offline, and I don't mind sharing it. Like, formerly incarcerated, I've been in trouble too many times to count. Too many scars on my hands from punching through walls and fights and all of that for what? Because no one took the time to say to this little Latin kid growing up with severe abandonment issues, with anxieties, with depression, carrying generational trauma of my people who were enslaved. Like, all of this anger builds up, and my anger was my protection mechanism. And so then I learned how to express. I learned how to, well, I'm feeling frustrated. And the first thing people want to do is go into the why, but that's not important.
You're right.
Frustrated. And so this is how we ultimately facilitate with the everyman, is can we give gentlemen an opportunity to tap into what they're feeling, where they're feeling it, without the story? Because that's half of what the problem is we spend 20 minutes reliving the story, and we go back to where we were when that initial trauma took place. And this is nothing against various forms of therapies, because I've been a part of it all. My emotional sobriety has had me in cognitive behavioral therapy, EMDR. I found support groups for veterans specifically with post-traumatic stress injuries, and none of it worked. None of it worked until I met the folks at the Veterans Yoga Project. So shout out to my family over at veteransyogaproject.org. And again, we provide trauma-informed, healing-centered modalities for healing, which can include yoga, meditation, yoga nidra. It's the reason why we're only just tapping into the realm of what being a part of a mental health advocacy community is. The VA only recognized within 5 or 6 years ago the importance of yoga therapy. Because prior to that, when they first diagnosed post-traumatic stress as a disorder, so here's a little history lesson, if you don't mind.
No.
DSM-5 in like 1981, 82 said, we need to call this something so that psychiatrists and therapy and counselors can offer drugs. Because ultimately in the U.S., pharmacological companies aren't allowed to give you anything unless you have some sort of diagnosis from a doctor. We're all aware of that. But how about we tap into the fact that post-traumatic stress isn't a disorder? There's nothing wrong with people who have post-traumatic stress reactions. That's your body's innately DNA-given, genetically predisposed place to protect itself. Hi, as a kid growing up, 9 different schools before 8th grade, being shot at, running with the wrong crowd. You think that wasn't doing something to my psyche? So are you going to label me as a disordered kid? Are you going to label me as somebody that has a disease? When ultimately what my body and my subconscious and unconscious and conscious minds were trying to do was just protect myself. So rather than support me, you lock me up. And so post-traumatic stress now is why I refer to it as an injury, because you can heal from an injury. Diabetes, type 1, type 2, certain cancers, like some of the more terminal or chronic illnesses, like we don't have cures for. However, post-traumatic stress as a struggle, mental health struggles, doesn't mean that someone is diseased, yo. It means we got to figure out the right modality to bring you to a place of healing, which is why I think you and I connected as lovingly as we did, because I shouldn't be here. If you look back at the story and you look at it on paper, you mean the third time you got shot, you escaped that? Yeah. You mean the last time you got locked up in the midst of the pandemic? We're just talking 3 years ago. So rather than figure out a way to try to fix me, because I'm not broken, I realized I needed to figure out what my support system ultimately needed to be in order to then enhance my healing, not be a detriment. And this is the essence of what I speak to folks about.
Wow.
Whether it's been with IBM, Capital One, through the app, in conversations with you, in conversations with my friends that I'm helping to support, giving the space, my own partner, like how can I ultimately be a support system? Because then you, Hillary, listeners, everyone tuning in, you're ultimately responsible. And we're not even, I mean, I don't even know if you want to get in to the nitty gritty. Like, I'm going to get into the briefly my soapbox of, I'm doing all of this despite a country that doesn't care about me, despite the fact that I'm systemically and racially profiled, despite the fact that the support that we offer our veterans sometimes is marred by, well, unless you're diseased and you've got some sort of psychiatric counseling or subscription, we can't help you. Not the fact that I'm in a place as a reformed man, as a radical feminist, to try to just give people their own autonomy. Hi, who are we as a country or a person to tell someone else what it is that they need? I'm curious as to why my choices affect you as an ally, as an advocate, as an activist. It's one of the reasons why I think the country is as divided as it is we can't sit down and have conversations without someone's feelings getting hurt. But ultimately, like, whatever it is that you choose to feel and think, that's on you. Are you causing harm to somebody? If so, maybe you curb that. Are you causing harm to me? No, because you're not a blip on my radar. But I had to learn how to do all of that. And it comes back to the breath work. Physiologically speaking, it all comes back to the breath.
Okay, question.
Yes.
You said emotionally sober like 20 years ago, but then 3 years ago. So 3 years ago, you learned how to be supported. Is that what you're saying?
Emotionally sober as of 2010. So we're saying 13 plus years.
Okay.
With a lot of people who face society struggles, like, it's a roller coaster.
So that was when you became aware, because this podcast, I used to have awareness, acceptance, and action. So you became, so first, if you're not aware, you can't, you're just not aware of something, right? So once you become aware, that's the first step. This is for me. Then if I choose to accept it, okay, I get a little bit crazy sometimes, or I get a little worried, or I get a little needy, whatever. All right, that's okay. That's all right. And then I can get into action. And once I stop making it wrong, then I'm free to, all right, what can I create now? But when I'm just stuck, before I'm aware, I'm just spinning, you know, like trying to fix something that's not broken, as you say. So you, sounds like you became aware, and then you're finding what works for you. And obviously sharing it with other people because it's so powerful, right? I don't know. Am I summing it up?
You're summing it up beautifully. I actually challenge you, Hillary,
okay,
for you to say about yourself, I'm a little crazy or I'm a little needy. Can you be a little pregnant? So at times you get crazy. Okay. At times you get needy, okay. At times you get frustrated, okay. And this is part of why we often share with the various support groups that I'm a part of, again, as an attendee and as a facilitator, but like, there's no modifying. What you're feeling are genuine feelings of human-based emotions. So there's no good or bad emotions, my friend.
Right.
Have the constructive or destructive reactions to them. And I love that you talk about awareness, acceptance into action, because in my train of thought, as well as my own, it mirrors yours. I do awareness, acceptance, surrender, which then leads into action. So you and I are aligned, my friend, in more ways than one.
Wow.
And you are, as this, however you identify racially, as a female identifying person, like myself. So like, the fact that you and I have these very two distinct separate entities of living, but yet you and I were the same person. We're still humans on this planet trying to do good, yo. We're trying to enjoy ourselves, because guess what? We're all going home. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Hillary, and this is, I'm going to take a deep breath, and I invite you, if you're listening, to just take a deep breath with me. In the last 3 years, I've lost 33 souls. There isn't a day, there isn't a moment where I am not grieving. Mourning. This week alone, 3 people. And so I say that because whatever your relationship is, yourself, Hillary, or the listener, ain't nobody exempt. We're all going home. And so for me to have in the last 3 years, from COVID taking away my aunt, from a horrific accident taking one of my best friends, from brain cancer taking away a 40-year-old father. Like, ultimately, we don't know. So if I'm alive today, I'm going to choose to have a good day on purpose. And that doesn't mean that I'm not upset. It doesn't mean that I'm not pissed off. It doesn't mean that I'm not frustrated. Doug and I, producer, were talking about being from Texas. And I'm like, yo, it's real hard to claim Texas right now. Because Texas, not everybody, because Texas is beautiful. It's filled with so many beautiful people. So my odds are with the Texas government. But like, the Florida government, how are you trying to dictate someone's sexual orientation, how they feel on the inside, which is why I'm a staunch supporter of the LGBTQIA2S+ communities, trans lives, huge supporter. It's a high, yo, can we give women the autonomy necessary for them to decide what it is that they need? And this is all stemming from white patriarchal dominance from the onset of this country's founding. And this isn't me trying to start an argument. I'm willing to have a discussion, but the people that I've invited to have discussions with about this, ultimately, they want to yell and they want to shout. And so that's where I then have to step away. There's no substance to your argument. So how do I live daily with this immense joy, this immense gratitude, knowing that every hour, and I live in Manhattan, I have to daily fight my social anxieties, my post-traumatic stress injuries, my depression. You think I'm not on the train every day, tapping at my heart center, just trying to breathe? And then that's ultimately what I would love to get into, is why the breath is important, because you consciously taking a deep breath in activates your body's rest and digest system. So again, we're so uniquely and beautifully designed. We carry our own protective mechanisms, our own healing mechanisms. It's the reason why if you get a cut and it stays relatively clean, it'll heal on its own. These modalities exist within us, within all of these working systems, within our unique galaxy-filled body. Because then, hi, we're also made up of the same goddamn elements as the Earth and the stars. So why wouldn't I have these superpowers? So your vulnerability, Hillary, is a superpower. Your willingness, your openness, the platform that you're on, where you invite folks to just chat with you, that's so powerful. I celebrate you. But who taught us that coming back to the breath can do a world of good? Did nobody teach me till 2020?
Wow. Well, one of my friends, she's playing a game that instead of good, bad, right, wrong, true, false, we play in the game of what's workable. So instead of like, you're wrong, I'm right. You know, I used to be like, well, if they're right, then I'm wrong. And, you know, it was this whole little cycle of nothing good came out of it. But if I could say, well, let's have a win-win. How do we have a win-win? How do we both win? How do we make this workable for both of us? Then it takes out the... people don't have to be in survival. There's no survival. Like you said, scarcity versus, I say scarcity versus abundance. You said something else.
Scarcity excess? Versus excess. We're raised on those platforms. Reward versus scarcity versus that's ultimately what decides our futures, where we can go, who gets the jobs. Like,
well, it's funny because this last book, and we're almost ready for the commercial, but I talk about the two sides of life. One in which you're kind of stuck and there's nothing good, and it's like, for me, it's just like powerless, whole, you know, something's wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. And then I saw this other side where it was like fun and joy filled and abundant, and I could create anything. And I said, wow, what if I could spend more time over there? And I started developing technique for me to get back over there. And I said, you know what? This is what the book's about, is sharing these tools and techniques. And there's all sorts of them that you've already mentioned. It's, you know, the same kind of things. You don't resist it. Like, I used to be frustrated because I was frustrated, sad because I was sad. And now I just get to be sad and realize just what you're saying, that that's fine. I'm supposed to be. And it's freeing. And it goes away when you don't add the story, like you were saying. So, you know, it's funny. We got the same... some of the same stuff, but you know, it's all about, that it's not, we don't have to be stuck over here trying to survive and be right. And, you know, then if I'm, you know, it's like a fight. You're always in a fight with somebody protecting yourself. But if we're all connected with love, we're all one over here, nothing to even do. There's nothing to do.
Thank you for sharing that. And the essence of who you are and what you share in the book. And I would love to come back when we get back from break and ask you about how you chose to go there. Because that's the essence. That's the number one question I get, is how do we shift? How do you alter the state that you're in? And it's actually really, really easy. So that'll be our teaser.
Okay. So don't forget to come back. We're going to our commercial break with our sponsors.
Woohoo! Thank you, sponsors.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. KIKORI.
And thank you to our sponsor, Kikori App. com. That's my daughter's company. That was my daughter's voice.
So I always
love hearing her. Yes. And just to promote one of my second books, Real Talk, Real Talk, you can go to realtalkwithhillary.com, take the Real Talk quiz. How real are you? Do you say what you want to say? Or do you have rules for what you can or can't? We could work with that and we can give you that life you love. So go to realtalkwithhillary.com. And let's connect. And welcome back.
Thank you. May I ask your daughter's name?
Haley.
Haley, congratulations.
H-A-L-E-Y.
Haley, I just want to take a moment to celebrate that. Because if you hadn't mentioned that that was your daughter, I wouldn't have known. But I was watching the commercial and going, well, that's really cool. So congrats, Haley. And I would love to commend you, Hillary, and celebrate you. The opening, it's beautiful. The montage, I just think it's lovely. And there's something that you mentioned in the opening that talks about reclaiming a birthright. So I want to tap into some of that info as well. And that's how we can shift things. But congratulations, Haley. And the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, yo.
Well, she's the let's see, what is it? Chief Marketing and Design Officer for Kikori App. So she does all the design work. Beautiful. She's working with, you know, it's a startup. It's a not-for-profit, but it can literally change children's lives because they missed a bunch during COVID, and it connects them. It gets them back connecting, instead of alone on their little phones, it brings them back out here.
Beautiful.
So it's really important. And if you know of a school system that you can bring it into, KokoriApp.com, find Haley.
I will talk to you offline about that. Absolutely.
Okay,
You have
awesome.
wonderful, wonderful contacts within the educational system. I'm also an adjunct professor at Columbia University, where I teach every year for the Summer Principals Academy. So, I mean, like I
Okay.
said, a lot to what we do and what I do. So, yes, we definitely have contacts
Okay, cool.
around the
And what do you
education
teach
system.
there? What do
I
you
teach
teach there?
meditation and mindfulness and have been off and on since 2017. And you take, let's just talk about that real quick. You take someone who looks like me, like I'm tattooed, and you mentioned going to my site and seeing the muscles or shirtless, and then you're
Well, let me just say, he has this gentle voice, and
like,
he, can I say you make corny jokes about the
I love
tacos?
that. I claim my corny jokes. I only have
Yes.
like
And
five of them.
so yeah, so I'm looking, not looking for, but I'm expecting, just someone, I don't know, mild and meek, nice, but mild, not strong. And then I see this raw with the body and the tattoos, and I'm just like, wait, how does that voice come out of him? But now that I'm sitting in front of you, I can see you have
Oh,
that
thank
lovely,
you.
lovely soft voice, and you have the power and strength to deliver the message,
Oh, thank
because
you.
because obviously people respect you and they listen to you, or you wouldn't be where you're at. And
Well, that's.
like what I don't get, and this is just me because I'm always chronological. You went through all this stuff, but then just in the past 3 years, which is the part that you added in the past 3 years? Was the breathing? Because you obviously had all this other stuff before.
Sure, that's a fantastic question. This is also a lovely segue into not judging books by their cover,
Right.
because we ultimately just don't have a clue. We don't have a clue as we approach the barista at our favorite coffee shop, what that person is going through. And so ultimately, can you be in a place, no matter what it is you're feeling, to then acknowledge that this person behind the counter is working, or that they're making your favorite drink, or that they're taking the time out of their day? And so I ultimately stopped asking people, "Hey, how are you?" Because it's a throwaway question. "Hi, how you doing?" "I'm good. How are you?" No one answers it. So if I ask someone, "How's your heart? How's your spirit?" I'm innately asking them, like, legit, do you feel like checking in? I can't tell you how many times, Hillary, I've walked up to strangers at the grocery store or just random conversation with people on the train, and that question is asked, "How's your heart? How's your spirit?" And there's no
Wow.
response because they don't know. And so I say that to say, you and I maybe wouldn't have connected if you had only sought my sight and saw what I look like. Who knows? Oh, that's what I'm saying is like, can we come back then?
Yeah.
As I full circle this, the last 3 years taught me ultimately, and most importantly, self-acknowledgement. So this is how I'm going to connect all these dots. So here we are in a place where
And I
growing
hope you're
up,
not offended by that.
no, not at all. There was zero
I mean,
offense.
all I heard was your voice.
Exactly. And so here we are. I could have easily been yet another statistic, another statistical loss. The reason why I'm a staunch supporter of Black Lives Matter is there's no amount of prayers or thoughts anymore that's going to keep someone from becoming another hashtag. Can we just be in a place to acknowledge human existence? Those that have, the excess, those that don't, the scarcity, there's too much of a disparity. So, tax the rich. That's the last I'll say about that. With that being said, you speak of reclaiming your birthright. Well, guess what? Our birthright, from the moment we are entering this world, everything that resides within us is love and kindness and compassion. We're only innately born with two fears, the fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. Everything else is taught. So if I had learned not to fear my frustration, maybe my life would have been different. Had I been taught not to be afraid of being vulnerable, had I been taught A, B, C, fill in the blanks, and listeners, do this with your own lives. Had we been taught? So here's the key. That shit don't matter no more, yo. The past, it's got nothing to do with what you choose to do right here, right now. And so you and I were talking about like how to shift and what's workable. So one of my favorite self-compassion experts, her name is Dr. Kristen Neff. Speaking of, we were talking about University of Texas in Austin, hook 'em horns. Even though I'm a proud graduate of the Prairie View A&M University, and HBCU, if you're not aware, stands for Historically Black College University. So even though I graduated from an A&M school, I still got to give props to University of Texas in Austin. But Dr. Kristen Neff is one of the world's most forlorn experts on self-compassion. And she speaks to that. Your birthright is love and compassion. So where do we lose that? Where do we get disconnected from seeking love? We lose it because no one has taught us self-love is the first love. It's the true love. It's the only love. And I've since amended in more of the recent teachings, it's also the hardest love. It is so hard to sit with self when we have been taught from day one, if you don't get to this point here, then you're not going to get the gold star. If you misbehave again, Caesar, because guess what? I was getting locked up and getting in trouble, but yet I graduated summa cum laude. I never had to study. I've got a brilliant educational mind, which is now filled with experience and merit. But yet my own self-deprecating thoughts, my own monkey mind ended up derailing this after this after this after this. So how do we get from this point here? You pause. You take a deep breath.
How did you? So you're going, you're listening to your brain, right? Or maybe you weren't aware or whatever, going down that tunnel or place. Now you're still, I don't understand how you're going there and you're still graduating summa cum laude. I mean, obviously you're a genius, but how do you switch it? I mean, I know that's where you're going, but it just seems like, so, and, you know, I have the two sides too, you know, like I can be publishing a book and then the next minute comparing myself to someone else and going, you know, you don't know what you're doing. So you just better shut up, you know, like that's here. And if I don't know, oh, that's just my thought. You don't have to listen to it. I could go down the tubes because it seems like all that stuff that we're, and maybe until we know that our thoughts aren't the truth, that's all we got.
That's,
I don't know.
An awesome share. Thank you. 90% of what we come up with, scientifically proven, 90% of what we think is going to come to fruition never ultimately exists. We create, we consider, we get frustrated. And so some of my men support group brothers call me Guru C's or OGC's. And I'm like, all right, I'll take that. But please know, I actively fight these same frustrations. The difference is my meditation practice increases my capacity for the discomfort. Because Hillary, we no longer live in a safe world. There is nowhere. You can't turn into a driveway. Now, by mistake, you can't knock on someone's door mistakenly without a danger being present. So what do we do if there's no safety that exists around us? We create within our own realm a braver space. And bravery isn't the absence of fear. Bravery and courage is being scared beyond wits and measure and still taking a deep breath to then accomplish what it is that you need to do, or to leave the relationship that doesn't serve you, or to change jobs, or to write your third book, my friend. That's bravery. And so what we're talking about isn't unattainable. And so, yes, I had, starting in 2010, my emotional sobriety journey began because God bless Steve. He was my first therapist in Calabasas, California. Steve taught me about mantras and affirmations and crystals. And he taught me about the Agape Center and Dr. Louise Hay, things that I then started to fuse into my own practices. And then I went into cognitive behavioral therapy individually as well as support. And all of that helped. All of it helped because I was seeking assistance. But it wasn't until 2020, until the midst of the pandemic, and I found the Everyman, that I then learned how to take all of the prior learned tools and then apply them to self. My own self-awareness, if we had to label it as a baby, is barely a toddler. So it doesn't mean that I don't wake up frustrated. It doesn't mean that I don't wake up grief-stricken or angry or upset. It just means that I have the tools now to understand that when my mind starts to freak the F out, if I take 5 deep breaths, my body physiologically is going to start to calm down, which then gives me a greater semblance of strength in order to then listen. What is my mind telling me? No, you know what? You can do this. You can be a guest on this place. No, you're speaking everything that you already.
Yeah.
So it's not to silence the thoughts. Friends, listeners, if you go into a meditation session or a yoga class and the teacher ever says to you, hey, we're here to block out those thoughts. I want you to get up and I want you to walk out. And I want you to tell them Caesar said so. Because I question who they are as a guide and as a teacher. Because it is impossible to shut the mind off. Conscious, unconscious, and subconscious minds are consistently running. And that's the strength of who you are as a human. And it's also part of what detrimentally can cause a faltering is because, well, what do I do? What do I do? I can't tell you the 3 times that I had severe suicidal ideations and came this close to just ending it. If I hadn't had the capacity to go, well, if I do this, yes, I'll escape, but what's it going to do to the people that surround me? And I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that to my family, to my lover, to my friends. So as long as I'm on this earth and I physically get to take in this air, before I go home, this is what I'm going to do. And yeah, it only came about 2.5 years ago.
So when you were studying all this stuff, so the difference is you turned it, I'm still trying to figure out what the change was because you were already studying it.
Sure.
And you weren't applying it to yourself? You were just learning? You were just learning.
So I have been teaching in some capacity since 1997. I've worked with J-Lo, Chris Brown. So like we're teaching dance. I'm a primary teacher for workshops in Germany, Austria, Italy. I come back, I'm teaching yoga, I'm teaching fitness, teaching. And the difference is that I wasn't exactly what you said, applying it to self. Because in 2015, we're talking 8 years ago, I met the fine folks at the Veterans Yoga Project. And that's when I finally learned, oh, there's an aspect to the physiology behind breath work. So I taught it every week. I teach now. I'm about to put together some stuff for their upcoming yoga teacher training. But it wasn't until the Everyman. It wasn't until Mike Sagoon, Andrew Kippen, Owen Marcus, and a lot of the facilitators for that organization that said to me, okay, well, what are you feeling where? Oh. So now I have this self-introspection. Now I have this greater self-awareness. Now I have this compassion for self that didn't exist before because I had to practice it, which is why it's a practice. We don't go to yoga class for perfection. We go to yoga class to practice.
So were you just like more doing before, teaching, doing, but not aware?
So we met on Aptive, which is the audio-based app, and I've been teaching for them since 2016. So I have been sharing knowledge. So the difference is now I share the knowledge and I'm like, oh, snap, I can apply that to me. And it's only enhanced my teachings. It's only enhanced who I am as a healer and a guide. But that's what happens. And one of the things I want to touch up on is how do we shift this? Is we have to realize that the only law in existence is the law of impermanence. The only constant is what?
Change.
Absolutely. So guess what? If you're sitting in that place, can you hold on long enough while the deprecating thoughts are screaming at you? Can you hang on long enough to pause, to breathe, to be mindful, to take a walk, to take a shower, to get up from one end of the couch to the other end of the couch? Because these are all things I had to do to realize, okay, they're going to start to dissipate. Again, my meditation practice doesn't remove the obstacles, the chaos, and the hindrances. My meditation practice, what I do as a human, only gives me greater capacity for them, because I also now, guess what, learn how to set boundaries. No. If I wasn't present and privy to being here, I would have told you no. If someone starts to engage with me, I had someone on the train not the other day go, let me tell you about your tattoos. Sir, I don't have the energetic capacity right now to have this discussion, but I appreciate your acknowledgement.
Good for you.
But it's...
And you wouldn't have done that before.
No. And that's part of boundary setting. And boundary setting, or the lack of boundary setting, is what eventually potentially leads to compassion fatigue or empathic distress. Again, these are the specialties that I teach in. Let's talk about our healthcare workers over the last 3 years. Can we talk about our healthcare workers over the last 30 to 40? And how underserved, politically ignored they are? We're not even going to get into the nitty-gritty behind that. But like, the pandemic specifically pointed out all of these atrocities that have existed throughout our history as an American culture, that now we're finally going, no, enough is enough. We can't go back to normal. Normal didn't work. We have to be better.
Wow. All right. So in our last 4 minutes, what do you want to promote? I mean, you do so many things, but what is, I know you have the Everyman. How would people find that? Or can people go, where do you want people to go? Where do you want them to find
that.
You?
Thank you.
Yeah. Talk about whatever you want for the next.
So whenever you're listening to this, but like, we're filming mid-May. And so every year we do a light a candle. It's part of our Memorial Day acknowledgement. So if you go over to the veterans, not the, forgive me. If you go over to www.veteransyogaproject.org, you'll get information on how to support. That is our 501(c) nonprofit. Again, we serve not just veterans, but the communities at large. We're international now. It is super cool to be able to share with another veteran this insight, because that's a whole other conversation about how our veterans are, again, put in the center point of conflict and then expected to just come back and be okay. And that's just not how it works. The Everyman that I keep referencing is spelled Everyman. And that is a men's peer-to-peer support group. So if you know of anyone who's male identifying and potentially wants to come in, and we offer online, we do offer in-person, but most of it is online because that's what matriculated through the pandemic. It's an opportunity to sit and just kind of listen in. There's power in listening. There's power in listening other men share their stories. And with that being said, I offer, again, a very affordable subscription-based meditation library at thejourneywithcaesar.com. And there are ways to get in touch with me there via all the social media handles. But I encourage our active listeners, if anyone's listening to me and they have any questions or concerns or comments, complaints, celebrations to share, reach out. That's how you and I connected. That's how I've had opportunities to be guests on other shows or other podcasts, so that we can have this discussion. And if anyone has any follow-up questions or comments or concerns, please don't hesitate to reach out. I will absolutely get back to you. And it's, again, the reason why I'm still here. But I can't thank you enough, Hillary, for you and your extraordinary self. Congratulations on your upcoming book. Congratulations on the platform that you're on. And I'm so proud to know you, my friend.
Thank you. So the best way for them to find you is through thejourneywithcaesar.com.
Yes.
Or no. Or on... I know you've talked about the gram, but you have to spell it right. That was my problem. So it's Caesar, C-E-A-S-A-R, F as in Frank, B as in boy, A-R-A-J-A-S as in Sally, right? That's how they
that
find
is
you?
Correct spelling. It is not Frank. It's an F as in Fernando. I am Caesar F. Barajas, pronouns he, him. And it is not B as in boy, it is B as in Bravo, A-R-A-J-A-S. I only say that because there are certain parts of like our vernacular.
Okay.
I'm not a boy.
What do you say for C? I say C as in Charlie. What do you say for the C?
I use probably military alphabet, C as in Charlie.
Oh, that's where you get him. Okay, okay. All right. Yeah. Anyway, you could find him.
Yes.
Or you can go through my show and I will send it to him. Thank you so much. And once again, contact me. You can go to realtalkwithhillary.com or gettingrealwithhillary.com with one L, and drink water, fight racism, and empower women. Yeah.
That's right. And you can go to Mahogany Mommies. It's on Instagram. This is where I got that shirt from. So shout out to a small Black-owned, female-owned business. And she makes a variety of shirts. And I love them all. Mahogany.
So Mahogany Mommies. Wow. All right. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for being a yes. Thank you for who you are in the world. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you made it. And mm-hmm. we'll continue to make it. And just you're a gift to the world. So thanks for being there.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories. And links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.